The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
Fuel.
Nominal.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Nominal.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod is charting a course through geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time for another look at the factual, the far out, and the foundations of the future. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1924, an adding machine company called the Computing Tabulating Recording Company decided it needed a slightly simpler name, and it settled on International Business Machines, or as we know it today, IBM. In 1990, at the urging of Carl Sagan, NASA and JPL warmed up the camera aboard Voyager 1 for the first time in nearly a decade to take photos of a unique configuration of the Sun and its planets from a distance of 4 billion miles. A montage of 60 photos, this family portrait only missed Mars and Mercury and showed Earth as a tiny blue dot taking up less than a pixel in a shaft of sunlight.
The Voyagers were guaranteed to work only until the Saturn encounter. I thought it might be a good idea, just after Saturn, to have them take one last glance homeward. From Saturn, I knew, the Earth would appear too small for Voyager to make out any detail. Our planet would be just a point of light, a lonely pixel, hardly distinguishable from the many other points of light Voyager would see, nearby planets, far-off suns. But precisely because of the obscurity of our world thus revealed, such a picture might be worth having. It had been well understood by the scientists and philosophers of classical antiquity that the Earth was a mere point in a vast, encompassing cosmos. But no one had ever seen it as such. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on a mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam.
In 2000, the space probe Near Shoemaker became the first man-made vehicle to orbit an asteroid, in this case the near-Earth asteroid Eros. And in 2005, YouTube opened for business. Lois Maxwell, who played Miss Moneypenny in James Bond movies spanning three decades, was born on this day in 1927. Also born on this day in 1942, actor Andrew Robinson, or as fans of Star Trek Deep Space Nine know him, Plain Simple Garak.
The repetitive epic is the most elegant form in Cardassian literature, and the never-ending sacrifice is its greatest achievement.
Simon Pegg was born today in 1970.
How do you think I wound up here? I had a little debate with my instructor on the issue of relativistic physics and how it pertains to subspace travel. He seemed to think that the range of transporting something like a grapefruit was limited to about 100 miles. I told him that I could not only beam a grapefruit from one planet to the adjacent planet in the same system, which is easy, by the way, I could do it with a life form. So, I tested it on Admiral Archer's prize beagle.
Well, I know that, Doc. What happened to it?
I'll tell you when it reappears.
On this day in 1983, Sega introduced the arcade game Congo Bongo, mixing the mind-bending 3D perspective of Zaxxon with the climb to the top and get the ape gameplay of Donkey Kong. In 1991, the crew of Red Dwarf met a creature who could read their minds and change into whoever they imagined.
The last two human beings in an infinite cosmos, and we have to bump into each other.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it?
And you realize we have an awesome responsibility?
We do.
disappear. Sure we did. We've got to rebuild the human race as quickly as possible. Do you want to start now or do you want to clean your teeth first?
And they say romance is dead.
And in 1997, against all reason or sanity, Lister found that he missed his former Red Dwarf crewmate, Rimmer.
Master of the wit and the repartee, his command of space directives is uncanny. How come he's such a genius? Don't ask me. Ask Arnold, Arnold, Arnold Rimmer. He's also a fantastic swimmer. And if you play your cards right, then he just might come around for dinner.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. If you want to witness video game history unfolding firsthand, thelogbook.com is the place to do it. With downloadable videos from the comprehensive chronology of Phosphor Dot Fossils to the origin stories of the industry told by those who lived it in the best of CGE videos. Previously available only on DVD, you can now download the specific videos you want to see. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in the logbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatred. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.
The Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Keane.